Okay, in last week's parsha, there was a discussion of Lo Yilbash, of dressing in matter of the opposite gender, and we discussed half of the halachos pertaining to that in the previous week. This will be part two, with no direct connection to the parsha that I can think of. But if anything comes to mind that somewhat ties into the parsha, I'll let you know in the middle. So last week was mainly focusing on the problematic issues of wearing clothing of the opposite gender, and we discussed mirrors, and all these different things that come on the poskim. Now, in the second part of this year, we'll turn mostly towards issues of clothing and general heterim, and when things are permissible and they're not problematic, of wearing clothing of the opposite gender. So there's a tshuva of the Rashi. The tshuva of the Rashi from Chilakei in Reish Ayin Aleph says that even though we mentioned previously, the Gemara Nedarim says that chaverim, those people who are somewhat pious, will be careful to not shave body hair, and that should be the proper minhag unless there is a reason, as we'll get to that later on. So he said, the Rashba says, if the hair is uncomfortable or it's causing pain, so you're allowed to remove the hair. Because, says the Rashba, this is the issue of removing hair is only a rabbinic law, a din d'rabbanan of lo yilbash, of dressing of a man acting like a woman. That's the sheet of the Rashba.
So the Rashba says that man can't
shaving body hair, not facial hair.
Oh,
we're talking about like below the neck. Okay? So, or I guess above the...
Whatever.
So something that would be normal, not normal for man. So based on this, the Yam Shel Shlomo Yevamos, and the Divrei Chaim, and the Bina Saddam, and Rishon Zalman, are machmer that you should only be lenient on a derabbanan of lo silbash. Meaning, you should, just because something is difficult does not necessarily mean that you throw out the entire halacha of lo silbash. Only can you be lenient if we're dealing with a rabbinic level of cross-dressing. So the Rama writes in Tafrei Sadi Vav in Orachayim, then the Bach and Sifkat in Nehehir and Yoradei and Kuf Pei Vav, Kuf Pei Beis, that you can be mater a dinda a rice of lo silbash. Even a Torah level of dressing like the opposite gender can be allowed if you have a good reason. We'll get to those good reasons in a second. The Taz writes that you can put on clothing of the opposite gender if you're cold, for example, or if it's raining, okay? So that would be a heter, as we'll get to later on, if a woman is going skiing to wear ski pants, there'll be other heterim as well, but since obviously it's cold when you go skiing, or else you would not be skiing if it wasn't cold, so then it would be appropriate in that case, as it has, in that case you could be lean because it would be uncomfortable. So in cases of comfort, it's raining, a person is outside and it's pouring, the only thing they can put on is the clothing of the opposite gender in order to protect themselves, so then that would be fine. Obviously, if you have an umbrella that's, let's say, overtly feminine or something like that, so according to this case, according to the Taz, one could use that very feminine umbrella because this is for the sake of keeping one dry. This is the sheet of the Emek HaNetziv as well, in the Sifri, the Avnei Tzedek, and the Sudei Eish. Okay, now, if someone has discoloration of the hair, where there are patches that are gray, and it doesn't look normal, right? We discussed last week the Gemara in Makos and Shabbos that discusses pulling out gray hair. That is not allowed because of the idea that it would be something that is more feminine. So the question is, if a man has patches of hair, that is strange, it's abnormal, the discoloration is not a normal pattern of graying for a man, so it's a machlokas, so you can color the hair. There's a machlokas, so you can color that area. So the chakira that the post can bring down is that, is it b'makom tsar, and if a person is uncomfortable or upset, the prohibition doesn't apply? Or do we say, if the person is doing it because it is uncomfortable and upsetting, it's simply not lo yilbash. It's simply not what the Torah is talking about. The Torah is only talking about dressing up in a feminine manner and portraying yourself in a feminine manner. But if in this case, or the person, his hair is has weird colors, so then in that case, perhaps it would be permissible. So on one side, we have the Divrei Chaim. The Sanhedrin Rav writes in Chelek Beis that it's usser. He says that if you want, he has an idea, you could dye all of your hair white. That's one way to fix the problem. If you dye everything white, then that would be okay. This is also the Shita of the Maharam Shik and the Maharsham and the Arach Shai, the Chalkas Yaakov, the Chu, and Rav Azner as well. And the Chavadas are bothered that is why these people are being machmer, ignoring the Taz, And the Bach that we quoted before, didn't the Taz and the Bach just say, if there's a tzorich, if there's a need, if someone is uncomfortable, you're allowed to be lenient? So says Rav Ad Yosef and Yechav Adas, what happened? If the guy is embarrassed to go outside because he has a patch of gray hair, so then why would that not be sufficient, according to Divrei Chaim and others, to allow the person to take care of that? And therefore, on the other side, we have the Sudei Yesh, who writes that if there's a practical toelus of dyeing the hair, and it's not for vanity, and he says there's room to be lenient, and say no different than allowing a woman to wear men's clothing if it's very cold outside to layer up. The same idea. And therefore that would be for...
Is that assumed it's Rabbanim then?
What?
All these Tatiram, that must assume it's Rabbanim.
No, again, we said before that the Taz says that even by a Deoraisa, we are lenient if there's a Toelis, if there's a great need outside of vanity.
So, I mean, if a need for, just for appearance, for... what's it called, plastic surgery? Would that be
we'll get to plastic surgery on its own later on. That's a larger discussion. We'll get to plastic surgery later on. The Rav Moshe writes in Yerodea Beis Samach Aleph and the Ber Moshe and Mincha Shlomo, who talk about a young man who turned abnormally gray at an abnormally young age. And that would be weird for dating and things like that. It would seem very weird. And therefore, they say for this, such a person, the Tzitzel Yezra as well, says in the later Shuvos, that it would be permissible as well for someone who has, again, this strange discoloration of the hair, for something that is necessary, not simply for vanity. Then we can go on to discuss, for example, what type of hair on the body can be removed. So for men, I think, based on what they sell as grooming products in stores, in almost everywhere, nose hair, ear hair, things like that would be permissible if a man wanted to groom that. Eyebrows, perhaps if this person is very uncomfortable, his eyebrows are somewhat odd-looking, perhaps there it would be permissible to remove hair. But body hair, let's say below the neck, something like that has to be a very big shasa v'chak. It's also not something that the nice Jewish boys do, to groom below the neck, and therefore there would have to be a great, great, great reason to allow removing hair below the neck in order to be lenient. The Bina Sadam and the Shevet Alevi in Chelek Beis and Ravazna and Rabbi Greenblatt in Chelek Hay, the Mishnah Lachos in Chelek Yud Beis and the Karim Shlomo and Rav Moshe all say that a man can use an umbrella, like we said before, that is overtly feminine if it's raining, because as the Taz said, those things are allowed for the sake if someone's going to get wet or very cold. Now, the issue of plastic surgery. Plastic surgery has a lot of other outside issues. Can a person physically damage himself for the sake of vanity or whatever it may be? And there might be reasons that plastic surgery is allowed or not allowed. We're not having a discussion about plastic surgery right now. We just want to know about whether plastic surgery is considered low silbash for a man. Is that considered something that is overtly vain? So Rav Nevensol writes in his Mishnah Berurah, in the back of the sixth volume Mishnah Berurah, he has assorted comments that are unrelated to the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. So he says it's aser. He thinks that any form of plastic surgery for the sake of vanity for man is not allowed at all. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Nevensol's Rebbe, writes in the Mincha Shlomo in Chelek Beis and Pei Beis that if a man does it because of tsar, he's embarrassed by something, then it is mutter in the aspect of lo silvash, meaning under the, there might be other issues as well that require their own discussion, but the issue of dressing and presenting like the opposite gender is allowed, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman, if the person is very pained by his appearance and he's very embarrassed. And this is the sheet of the Mishnah Halachos as well, the Chalav Dal, Rish from Zion, and the Yalkut Yosef. Yeah.
Does the issue of lo silvash, it's a fundamental question, I forgot to ask it, apply to men and women and vice versa?
Yeah.
In other words, that the woman can't dress like a man.
Yeah, there's two parts of the pasuk, lo yilbash and lo silbash.
So then how do you do the plastic surgery question?
So, the plastic surgery, the feeling was, from Nevensol, is that the plastic surgery is something that is overtly concerned with vanity, which generally was in the category which was associated with women, as it happens sometimes. No judgments being cast in the air. Let's discuss clothing, because this is what we talk about, right? Dressing. What comes down to clothing? So writes the Marsha in the Chidushim on the Darim Mem Tes, which is the major sugya of dressing like the opposite gender, and the Marsha says very clearly that if an item is unisex, it is not identifiable in its make and model based on the current times that we live in to be overtly male or female, then anyone can wear it, says the Marsha. So if you have sweatshirts, or if you have a type of jacket. And the way it's designed, it's not considered necessarily to be male or female, is perfectly fine. This is what the Karim Shlomo says, and other poskim as well. This should apply to shirts, sweaters, things like that. It would also include Crocs. Crocs are also, because of their unattractiveness for many people, they are overtly unisex. There's nothing necessarily male or female about Crocs, but one could argue if the croc had a very feminine color, then perhaps that would be a problem for a guy, but there's certainly lots to discuss there. If there's no other choice, and the only footwear you have around are bright pink Crocs, then you have to go outside so you can put them on. But ideally, a guy should not buy bright pink Crocs. Okay. The post can also discuss, what about socks? Well, I guess some socks, if they're very frilly, then perhaps that would be overtly female. But in general, the Karim Shlomo says in Hashmatas at the end that socks are not identifiably necessarily male or female, it's based on the design or the color, and therefore you can exchange socks as well. What about men's jewelry? This is something that has been around for millennia and also nowadays. So in the Peyas Zekanecha, which is the Sefer on the Halachos of shaving the face, so in the back they have a bunch of opinions from Nissen Karelitz, who's a dayan in Bnei Brak. So Nissen Karelitz says that it is not beged isha for a man to wear ring, earrings, necklaces, if it is a masculinely designed piece of jewelry. If the ring is for men, if the necklace is for men, if the earrings are for men, says Rav Karelitz, it is perfectly fine. However, Shlomo Zalman, Valelo Yibol, says that it's a problem for a man to wear one ring in his ear. That, he felt, is problematic. And he says that, oh, you'll tell me that many men in America wear one ring in their ear. So he says, the minhag is established by Yirei Shemayim, and not necessarily what goes on the streets all across America. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman was against men wearing earrings. But certainly at the end of the day, we live in a society where many men do wear rings, wedding bands, whatever it may be. That is not an issue of lo silbash whatsoever. Okay. Next, for Shlomo Zalman, in the same piece in Vayalei Lo Yibol and Chelek Beis, allows a man to use hair products that are designed for women. So if your shampoo is out in the shower and all you're left there with is your wife's shampoo and it smells like botanicals, so it's perfectly fine, not an issue, and in order to wash your hair. It would also seem to allow products that regrow men's hair. Obviously something like Rogaine, which is designed for men, would certainly be allowed as well. The Shevet HaLevi and Chelek Vav Kuf Yud Ches and Nissen Karelitz say that a man can use makeup to cover a blemish. If he's embarrassed by something on his face, he can use makeup without a problem. He says it's not for looking feminine, it's only for covering up the blemish, and that is by definition not lo silbash. And the post can note that there's no problem with soaps, colognes, aftershaves that might be very smelly and odoriferous. Those things are allowed as well.
I assume there's no problem with makeup. Not for a blemish, but people who go on TV.
Yeah.
You see,
The newscasters and the weatherman and everyone.
Rashad Tarab, I'm sure Rabbi has it. They put on his face.
Exactly. So those types of things, a little powder, it's fine to take away the shine.
Yeah.
All those things would be allowed. And there's a tshuva in the Karim LeDavid in Orach Chaim Simon Mem Hei, where he says very clearly that nail polish would be problematic for men, because the custom has not developed yet that men generally use nail polish. The Karim Shlomo has a tzarachin regarding men using a toupee, but Rav Chaim Gleimbat says very clearly in the Rivvos V'Yovos and the Chelek Beis Simon Yud Aleph that there's no problem wearing a toupee, because if a person helps them with parnasa or whatever it may be, so a toupee for men, says Rabbi Greenblatt, would be allowed. Certainly, I would think that is the minhag in America. I don't know how many men in America wear toupees, or Jewish men wear, but my sense is that it is done that Jewish men wear toupees. What about women? We've discussed all the things that...
We did get the issues of tefillin or carrying or whatever.
What? We'll get to tefillin. What? Tefillin for women?
No.
What?
For toupee on top of
the... maybe we'll have another share on about toupees. But okay. For now, we'll just discuss gender issues. Okay. Now, what are the... we discussed things that men should not dress or wear in regards to looking like a woman or being feminine. What about things that women should not do in regards to men? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Orach Chaim Chelek Daled, Simen Ayin Hei, and Yechav Adas, Rav Avajin Chelek Hei Simen Un Hei, and the Yalkut Yosef discuss women carrying weapons, right? This is a famous discussion that Rav Moshe and Rav Avajin wrote about. What about people in the Shtachim, who, and obviously that was written in a period where perhaps Yerushalayim was considered safer than in the Shtachim, but even unfortunately nowadays, Yerushalayim has its own issues as well. Let's say someone would feel safer with carrying a weapon on them. So what's the issue here? The Gemara in Nazir says in Daf Nun Tes, where we learn that a woman should not go out to war with a weapon, and the Pasuk says, lo yilbash. The idea was that the adornment of a weapon on a person was considered something that men wore and that women did not. More of a masculine presentation than women. Rashi cites in Sefer Shoftim, in Perkei Chavav, with the famous story of Ya'el and Sisera, right? Sisera runs away from Barak and Devorah in battle. She goes to the tent of Ya'el, and she gets him to go to sleep, and he's in the tent, and Ya'el now has a chance to kill this enemy of Yisrael. And what does she do? She takes a tent pin, right? So says Rashi, a tent pin? Kind of, there was nothing else around besides a tent pin? So says Rashi, to use a weapon, to use a formal weapon, would have been lo yilbash. And therefore Rashi says that she used a tent pin instead. Regarding our question about weapons, although weapons are usually made more for men than for women, nevertheless, when there is a need to carry a weapon, says Rav Moshe, says Rav Avadja, clearly a woman is allowed to carry a gun without any issue at all. Protect themselves, protect their family. It certainly is not an issue. And Rav Avadja cites the Sefer Chassidim in Os Reish, in 200. The Sefer Chassidim says, there are times when a person has to act, Eisasos Hashem, Efiras Harasech. A person needs to act and to, you know, bend with the rules of the Torah. And therefore he says the following case. If enemies have occupied a Jewish city, the women are allowed to walk around and dress in men's clothing to hide themselves so they will not be assaulted by the enemy soldiers, to dress as men. So says Rav Avadja, what do we see here? Clearly, that a woman is allowed to dress in men's clothing to protect herself. So she can dress in men's clothing to protect herself. Why shouldn't she be allowed to carry a gun to protect herself as well? The Truma Sadeshin writes in Simon Kuf Sadi Vav, in the case of a man who's allowed to wear questionably male fashion in the case of Pikuach Nefesh. So, without question, says Rav Avadja, says Rav Moshe, in a case where a person feels in danger, a woman is in danger, she's allowed to carry weapons in order to defend herself. What about pants nowadays? This is a common question. Pants, the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, wears suit pants wherever she goes. We're not making any comments on politics, but she wears suit pants wherever she goes. So it would seem, a person walks into any women's clothing store, they're selling pants all over the place. So off the bat, before we get to the issue of lo yilbash, regular pants on the street is an issue of tznius, meaning excluding the issue of dressing in men's fashion, it's an issue of tznius and showing form of the woman's body. That's issue number one. So let's put that on the side and assuming that for the simple sake of simply dressing and fashioning in pants, it has questionable issue on its own in regards to Hilchos Tznias. But what if, let's assume in the simple case, there are no men around, okay? A woman is going to the gym, or a woman is wearing sweatpants underneath her skirts. It's cold outside, or she just feels more comfortable that day, she wants to wear sweatpants underneath her skirts. So there's a comment of Rabbeinu Ephraim in last week's Parsha, Parshas Ki Seitzei. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Smach b'parshas aveda lo yekli gever al isha. Why is it that we find the mitzvah shavas aveda is next to the of returning a lost object is next to the parsha of how a person should not dress like the opposite gender? So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Shalotomar isha, a woman should not say al beishmech nasayim ki ish lachzor aveda. The lost object that I'm going to search for, it's in a very muddy, dirty area. It's in the forest. So I have to put on men's clothing, on some pants, in order to go make sure I can find the lost object. The after of Ki Yikra Kain Sipor, Shlo Tomar, and then what does it say afterwards? There's the mitzvah Shluch HaKain, to go send the mother bird away. What do you have to do, Shluch HaKain? You got to climb up in the tree. Can I climb up in the tree, lady wearing her skirt? No, she's going to put on a pair of pants. So therefore, Shlo Tomar Isha, Al Beish Nechmasayim, Lalo Salhi'ilan, Lekain Shluch HaKain. A woman should not say, well, I wanted to do Mitzvah Shluch HaKain, I need to put on pants because it's more convenient, therefore I'm going to wear pants. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, no. Pants, he says, even if there are other extenuating circumstances, other mitzvahs, he says, are not allowed regardless of what's going on. This is not, the discussion about pants and tzitzis in general is vast. But in this specific area, the consensus of the poskim is split into two theories. The Rav Yeshua Ehrenfeld and the Dvar Yehoshua in Hei Lamedal, the Minchas Yitzchak and Beis Kufches, Rav Ozner and Beis Samech Gimel, Rav Nevensol and his Mishnah Bura, and the Karim Shlomo all say that pants are kli gever, no matter what is going on in society, pants are pants are pants, no matter what's going on in the world. And this is the case even if pants are designed for women. And there's a very stark comment in the name of the Chazon Ish, in the Share Aaron. The Share Aaron is Rav Aaron Roth, who's a Ravin in Bnei Brak, who writes who has a very expansive commentary on Chumash that is learnt in a lot of places. So he has a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes the Chazon Ish, who told him the following thing. Shulule Sanhedrin hay bizmanenu, if there would have been a Sanhedrin nowadays, hayadan bizeh isser skila b'harasha, they would have viewed women wearing pants with an isser skila of isser skila based in as a haras shah, meaning as a one-time thing. In order to keep the peace, in order to keep halacha, sometimes basin will do something called a haras shah, where even though this is not what the Torah says, we need to act in a certain way to protect the Torah. So he felt that wearing pants was such a terrible thing that the basin, if there was a Sanhedrin, would have been very, very strict about it.
It's Chazon Ish's time, okay, I was alive, I don't remember that well. Yeah. But certainly, in my memory's time, there's a big difference.
Correct. Things have changed since the 1950s.
When I was working, but the only people who didn't wear pants was one woman's wife with Todd Selfshore and those stuff.
Okay. So, on the other hand, we have Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who's quoted in the Emes Yaakov in Evan Ezer, who says that women can wear pants designed for women to exercise in because it's not Begadish anymore. The reality is it's simply not men's clothing in 2016. This is the Shita of Zovaj Yosef and the Abiyah Omer.
Is that limited to exercise clothing?
What?
Is that limited to exercise clothing?
No, any time where obviously there would be no, they're saying when there would be no men around.
No, but
around the house, something like that.
These are separate questions.
One second.
Yeah.
You just indicated that if she wears a pants which are used for exercise,
yeah,
why would that make a difference? Why couldn't she just wear pants, just regular pants, under that theory?
To exercise or exercise?
No,
pants?
Just she wants to wear pants
out on the street.
Yeah.
So Rav Yaakov would say it's an issue of tznius. Okay. It's a modesty issue.
It's more tznius than
okay. There's a very famous tshuva of Rav Avadja in Rabbi Omer Chelek Vav, where there was a high school in the north in Israel, and the girls were wearing very, very short skirts to the school, and the hanhala, the administration of the school, was doing everything they could to get them to dress more tzanua, but it wasn't working. So they came up with an idea,
pants.
Well, maybe better they should wear pants, because the pants will be more tzanua than the miniskirts. They went to Rav Avad Yosef, and they said, what can we do? And he said, in this particular case only, I will allow it. But he said, I'm very clear, this is not a blanket rule allowing pants, but in this case, we have the lesser of two evils. He allowed pants in such a case, assuming, as does the Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Beis and the River of Safai in Chelek Hay, that pants are not beged ish anymore in this era. Is it permissible for a wife to wear her husband's coat? Is chivalry dead in our time? Right, your wife is cold and she wants you want to put on a coat. So is it a problem? So based on what we said in the Taz and the Bach, Rav Avadja writes in Yabi Omer and Chelek in that Shuva as well, and I heard Rav Shechter say in addition that is certainly mutter. This issue is not, it's not considered inappropriate. It's all, we have so many heterim based on being cold and all the things together. One is allowed to be chivalrous and give his jacket to his wife if needed.
His wife's jacket too, I guess. Same
if he could wear his wife's jacket. I guess so. Yeah, if
probably,
it fits.
Probably
you know, it's interesting with the firm Muslims.
Yeah.
Is that they'll cover the entire body, but yeah, the women can wear pants.
Wear pants.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. They should. So they have their own halachas. You have to hear a shiur from them. You have to hear a shiur from them to see what they say. Next, a few more points to wrap it up. There's the Darkei Tshuva in Kuf Pei Beis cites the famous Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel on last week's Parsha. On the Pasuk of Yivash, the Targum Yonasan says, Lo yagulyan zetzitzis utfilin tohan tikune gever al sasa. The Targum Yonasan says, you want to know what a great example of men's clothing that a woman shouldn't wear is? Tzitzis and tfilin. So we have already at that time that it could be lo yilbash for a woman to wear tefillin and tzitzis. Now, the Sri Yesh in the same shul we've been quoting from says that he does not feel the Targum Yonasan is a halachic source in order to decide this matter. But the Darkei Tshuva felt that it was enough of a discussion to raise it as a point against women wearing tefillin and tzitzis. The Rosh Shtormbach and Tshuva Sanagos in Chelek Aleph Tafnun Vav says that it's lo yilbash for a woman to smoke. On top of the issue of smoking itself, it's lo yilbash for a woman to smoke. But I think already in they still have a Virginia Slims, right? That's not a cigarette that was designed for women, so it could be that maybe Rosh Shtormbach was not familiar with the branding of cigarettes in America. The Rivos Ephraim in Chelek Gimel Taf Pei Zayin says there's no reason to assume it's lo yilbash for a woman to smoke. And then there's an interesting tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Yud Aleph Reish Dalim. He has a tshuva, has absolutely nothing to do with women and men and dressing. The tshuva is about when the husband and wife are being Mekalel Shabbos at different times. Let's say the husband is Mekalel Shabbos early in Shul at 6 o'clock, and Shabbos and Shkia isn't really till later. So does the wife have to follow the husband? So in the context of that discussion, listen to what he writes. Shalapamim habal haleich lehispal el kabal Shabbos. The husband goes to be mekabel Shabbos in shul. V'chozer habaisa, and he comes home. V'ishto adayin lo gamra levashel. The woman hasn't finished cooking for Shabbos because it's not shkia yet. V'yoser mizeh medaberes on the telephone. She's still talking on the phone with her friends because it hasn't been shkia yet. Although hadlika neiro, she didn't light Shabbos candles. O mishaenes cigaria, and the wife is still smoking when the husband comes home from school, home from shul. So we see, says Ramasha Klein, that it would be permissible for a woman to smoke because of lo yilbash. Smoking is usser, as we've explained in the past here. Smoking is 100% usser, but is it also yilbash? Seemingly, it would not be the case. We have discussed already in the past, we can go back and listen to the shiurim on women driving cars, whether a woman driving a car is lo yilbash. Obviously, in our community, it's not. Maybe in other communities, it may be. But you can go back and listen to the shiurim regarding women driving cars. The last thing is haircuts for women. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in Parak Yud Beis, which these halachas are discussed, and he says that a woman should not shave her head or cut her hair like a man. And in light of this Rambam, the Darkei Tshuva in Kuf Pei Beis here has a major discussion. How is it, he says, that by the Hasidim, the women shave their head after the chasna when it comes to going, when they go to the mikvah?
But so how is the Rambam?
Just put the shades on. So the Darkei Tshuva is very, but how am I supposed to do this? The meaning by the Hasidim, based on the Zohar in two places and other ideas as well, is that the women shave their head. But the Rambam says that women can't shave their head like a man. So what are you supposed to do? So he has a whole explanation. It's Lotso Elis, it's for the mikvah, it's Api Kabbalah, and he has ways to go explain it. The woman shaves her head, it's not to mix with the opposite gender, and he has a number of reasons to be why that should be the case. So in these two shirim, Bezras Hashem, we have covered most of the halachas pertaining to dressing and acting like the opposite gender. We live in very different times where these matters seemingly change back and forth all the time. Hashem should give us clarity and Yirat Shamayim to be able to manage these issues as they come along.
Okay.